People all around us are desperate for hope. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to continue sharing the gospel with those in need.
Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Giving is not a debt that we owe, it's a seed that we sow. Now some givers are motivated by guilt. Well, I better give, they're gonna know. Some are motivated by greed. I better give so I can get. But scriptural givers are motivated by grace.
The world is changing, but as Christians, our directive stays the same. God has not called us to compromise or complain about the culture. He has called us to continue. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Continue, we will discover key areas of our life that God wants us to continue developing through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. People all around us are desperate for answers, and we must continue to take the light of the gospel to those lost in culture's darkness. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Continuing by Grace.
And the Bible tells us that God had bestowed grace on the churches of Macedonia. I know of some churches that have a lot materially, but they have little of the grace of God. But the churches of Macedonia had God's grace. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So grace was bestowed upon them. And then secondly, grace was revealed through them. For the Bible says in verse 2 that it was from the riches of their liberality, the riches of their liberality that they gave. Now, here is an amazing formula, and I want you just to think about it in verse 2. Some of you like math, and some of you like equations. So look at this equation here. According to the Bible, you first of all take great affliction, and then you mingle great affliction with deep poverty, and then you mix in the grace of God, and the result is joy and generous, liberal giving. Now think about that. You take these people and they put in their affliction and they put in their poverty. And from that we'd go, the Jerusalem saints are never going to get an offering from Macedonia because all they have is affliction and poverty. But when you put the grace of God in somebody's heart, grace is the difference maker. And because grace got in the mix, they had joy to give liberally and to do their very best. And what we want to pray is simply this: Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Give me the grace that I need in order to do what you want me to do. That's why we call it grace giving. That's why we've never had an offering where we say everybody gives the same amount or everybody. No. We want God's grace to work in everybody's heart in the way that God wants to work in everybody's heart. And so this was the testimony of the Macedonians. God's grace was at work in their life. And you know, it's amazing, and I've studied this over the years, and I try to study a bit about stewardship and giving, and you'll find the Macedonian story still being told today. For example, year after year, the state of Mississippi is the 49th or 48th state in per capita income, and they are almost always the second or third in per capita giving. In other words, the state that makes the least still gives percentage-wise the most in their giving to charitable causes. And I personally believe one of the reasons for that is the spiritual belief system in that particular state. A lot of Christians there who, though they don't have as much, they've got grace in the mix, and grace is making a difference in their life. And if you get what I'm saying right now, say amen. Amen. They don't have a lot, but they have a lot of God's grace. And I'm trying to teach you this morning, grace makes the difference. You go up to the state of Massachusetts, which year after year is either third or fourth in per capita income, and the state of Massachusetts is always 48th or 49th in giving. Per capita giving. They have more, they give less. Why? There's less faith in God. There's less grace going through their life. So the churches of Macedonia prove to us that when God gets in the mix and when we have God in the equation of our lives, then we're going to do something compassionately, seriously for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember years ago preaching a Sunday night message about serving the Lord and getting involved, and And I'm not kidding you, I think there might have been 30, 40 people in that service. And I was encouraging people about soul winning and serving, and let's build a church for the Lord. And that night, as we had the invitation, there were 7 or 8 people that came to pray. And there was one elderly lady in the church at that time. Her name was Clara Doherty. Clara may have been in her 80s, early 80s at that time. And I remember as I preached my heart out that evening, Clara Doherty moved out from her pew and she walked down. And I remember thinking to myself, I wonder why Clara is coming up here. I preached about soul winning and preached about, you know, painting the buildings and all these kinds of things. And she walked up to me and she said, "Pastor," she said, "I want you to know," she said, "there's not a lot that I can do, but," she said, "I can pray and I can pay." I'll never forget that as long as I live. She said, "I can't do the physical things you're preaching about, but I'm going to pray and I'm going to give. I want to be a part of the work of the Lancaster Baptist Church." That, my friends, is the grace of God on someone's heart. The spirit to say, "I'm going to do the best that I can do for the Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians 6 and verse 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You see, giving is not a debt that we owe. It's a seed that we sow as we honor the Lord with our giving. Now, some givers are motivated by guilt. "Well, I better give. They're going to know." Some are motivated by greed. "I better give so I can get." But scriptural givers are motivated by grace. And it's God working in their heart. And it's God leading them along the way to see the need, whether it's the children, whether it's some other project, to say, "You know what? That is something I want to be a part of." And so grace produces compassion. And secondly, grace provides resources. Now look at verse 3. It says this, "For to their power," speaking of the Macedonians, "I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Now notice this, we see that they were willing to give. And Warren Wiersbe said it this way, "Christian giving does not depend on material circumstances so much as spiritual convictions." Like those who were building the tabernacle in Exodus 35, it says, "And they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone in whom his spirit was made willing, they brought the Lord's offering." And so we see that they had a heart, they were willing to do what they could. I remember when we first started meeting missionaries here at Lancaster Baptist Church back in 1986, 1987. And the missionaries would call me and they'd say, "Could we come share the work and talk about what's going on in the mission field?" And during those times, we were not really paying the bills of our own church, and other churches were sending us support. And that's how we were kind of making ends meet. And I remember those first few missionaries coming, and though we were not self-supporting, I said, "If you want to come, we'll pray about it." And I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that we had the grace to invite them and the faith to support them. And we began to support several missionaries before we were on salary, before the church was making its own payments. We began investing in the mission fields, white already unto harvest. One of those mission fields, Brother Ed Bordell came by, and we began supporting Brother Bordell. And through the property that we were able to help purchase in that particular area, a great church has been established. Hundreds of people gathering, even this morning. 7 other churches around that church have now been started. I'll tell you what, I'm glad that we didn't take the attitude to say, "When we can do something, then we will do something." I'm glad that we had the grace to say, "Let's do what we can right now. We may not have much, but we want to be a part of the blessing of worldwide missions." And so we've got to have that willing heart. Then notice, secondly, they were participating. The Bible says in verse 4, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. In other words, they had a gift for the church. They had an offering. And they said, "Paul, we want you to take this gift. Please don't rob us of the blessing." I could see the Apostle Paul perhaps thinking, "Boy, these people are poor. They don't have very much." I remember years ago, there was a young couple in the church here. And they gave something to the church. It was a particular possession of theirs. And it came to my attention. And I said to one of the men and one of the deacons, I said, "Look, that's too much." I said, "Listen, find out what that's valued for. I'll give that amount. I'm going to give this item back to that young couple." And I remember going to that young couple and saying, we want you to just keep this. That's just too much. And I'll never forget what they said. They looked me right in the eyes and they said, Pastor, we didn't give that to you. We gave that to God. And Paul the Apostle said that they were praying with much entreaty that he would receive the gift. They were saying, no, don't rob us of the blessing. We want to give this because God has put this on our heart. It was a burden that the Lord had given to them, much like the widow's mite, no doubt. Mark chapter 12 and verse 43. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living. You see, when you have grace plus faith, you're going to have a what? Help me out here. When you have grace in your heart and faith in your life, you're going to have a what? Lancaster Baptist Church has a testimony for missions. Hundreds of churches have been started because when we didn't have enough, still we got involved. The widow is mentioned as giving the widow's mite 2,000 years later because by grace she did what she could. I'm just saying this morning, whether it's George Mueller or Adoniram Judson or Rick Martin or you, if you have grace in your heart and faith in your life, you're going to have a testimony to the glory of God. And so we see a testimony of continuance and a testimony of compassion, but notice thirdly this morning, a testimony of consecration. Now, why would people do what they were doing? I want you to think about that this morning. Look at verse 5. It says, and this they did, speaking of this offering, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, mark this down, letter A. They gave themselves. Let's say that together. They gave themselves. Is this not what we read in Romans 12:1? Moms and dads, is this not what we teach our teenagers? Is this not the principle? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You say, why is it that these people would be involved in this missions offering? Why is it that they would be so concerned and involved? And the reason was very simple. They had completely yielded themselves to the Lord. And when you're completely yielded to the Lord, then anything that you have, you know it belongs to Him. It's already His. You are completely dedicated to Him. That's why we often say giving is not a matter of can or can't. It's a matter of will or won't. And when we have given ourselves to the Lord, then whatever is His will, that is exactly what we want to do. You see, my friends, this morning, money is so intimately related to the possessor that we cannot give money without giving some of ourselves. Whenever we give it, we're giving a portion of our life, a portion of our time. And the reason that these Macedonians gave so wonderfully was because they'd long ago given themselves. And they already had recognized, whatever I have, it's already belonging to the Lord. A little girl was critically ill. She needed a blood transfusion of a very rare type of blood. The doctors researched and made inquiries. And finally, it was determined that the only donor that was within any proximity was her own brother. And they went to her brother and they said, would you be willing to give blood for your sister in order that she might live? And he unhesitatingly said, yes, I would. And so he laid down on the table and the transfusion was begun. And that little boy, after the first 10 or 15 minutes, he began to feel a little woozy. And he looked over at the doctor and he literally said these words, doctor, when will I start dying? For he was fully convinced when he laid on that table that he was giving his life for his sister's life. He was fully convinced that he was making the ultimate sacrifice for her. You see, when you come to that place when you say, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for me, I want to give my life to Him. It's not that hard to give a tithe. It's not that difficult to give in an offering when you've already made the decision that I'm laying down my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what verse 5 says. They gave their own selves to the Lord. But then secondly, notice, they gave their resources to the Lord. Look at verse 6. Insomuch that we desire Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. In other words, Titus had reminded them. Now he's reminding them again. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. And they gave their resources because of their growth in grace. And you'll see that in verse 7. Make sure that you're abounding in this grace also. And we ought to abound in all kinds of graces. We should abound in the grace of forgiveness. And we should abound in the grace of love. And we should abound in the graces of parenting. And in all of these graces. But he says, make sure you grow in this grace also. Look in your notes there, please, at 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Notice this phrase here, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Would you say that with me, please? Ready to begin. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. And so he is challenging them. Don't stop growing. Look right here, if you would, for a moment. What he's saying to them is, continue. You started, now continue. You begun this good work. I've encouraged Titus that you would continue in the good work. And I don't know about you. I don't want to be a used to be a good pastor, or a used to be a good parent, or used to be a good giver, or used to be a good witness. I don't know about you. I want to be strong in the Lord until the day he calls me home. And he's saying, now you've begun a good work, but I want you to continue in that good work and to be faithful in that good work until the very end for the glory of God. And so he challenged them because of the grace of God to continue. But then notice he challenges them because of their love for Christ. Now look at that, if you would, in verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Let's say that together. And to prove the sincerity of your love. You know, as we give to the Lord, it just says a few very simple things. Number one, it says, Lord, my heart can still be touched by you, by your grace. And Lord, I still love you. And I want to prove it. And I want to show it in my life, in my giving, in my song, in all that I do, Lord. I want you to know that I love you. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Would you say that with me, please? For the love of Christ. I've never wanted in 30 years our giving to be, well, they've got my arm behind my back, you know. I've never wanted that spirit to be at Lancaster Baptist Church. But I do want this spirit. The love of Christ constrains me. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all were dead. We thus judge that Jesus Christ died for us, so his love compels us to love him back and to give to him. You see, Amy Carmichael said it best, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And when you love someone, you enjoy giving to them and helping them and encouraging them along the way. The love of Christ, oh, how he gave of himself for me. What a privilege to give to him and to prove the sincerity of our love. Stewardship begins with love, not with giving. It's not going to begin with the check we write. It's going to begin with the love we have. It's going to begin with a heart of gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we come to this wonderful verse there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Notice what it says. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's say that together. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, listen, he's given so much to us. So I want to ask you today, how's your testimony? How's your testimony? How's the testimony that you have for the work of the Lord, for the person of the Lord? Whenever you have grace in your heart and faith in your life, the result will be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been blessed to know a lot of people right here at Lancaster Baptist with great testimonies. People that have been gracious in their heart, faithful in their life. And now 20, 30 years later, when you say their name, oh man, that's a faithful man. He's been so faithful to work with our teenagers and with our children, and she's been faithful to sing in the choir, and they've been faithful for so long, and I've been so blessed to pastor people who've had grace and faith, and now you have a testimony. How's your testimony today? Is it a testimony that's continuing? Is it a testimony of compassion? Is it a testimony of consecration that you still belong to the Lord? What a wonderful church filled with wonderful testimonies for the Lord. I've been blessed to know so many men and women whose testimony has inspired me. The man that taught me more than anyone else about grace was my grandfather. He loved to talk about the grace of God. His name was Paul B. Chappell. There's a picture of him in the Point restaurant. And my grandfather loved the book of Romans. He had memorized the book of Romans. And whenever you got in his Ford pickup and went anywhere, he was going to talk about Romans. He was going to preach about the grace of God. And when he got real excited, he'd slap his thigh and say, "Isn't that good?" And when he was really excited, he'd slap my thigh and tell me how good it was too. He was so happy to be saved and so encouraged by the grace of God. But the grace of God got hold of him. And soon, by faith, he began to learn how to be a soul winner. And though he never had more than an eighth grade graduation, he found himself wanting to tell others about the grace of God. And by faith, he began witnessing and telling them. And I remember when he retired and kind of had that little nest egg set aside, the great lesson he taught me, because he found himself going up about 90 miles from his house up to Moab, Utah. Just had this grace in his heart compelling him to go to Moab, Utah. And by faith, he went up there and he began knocking on doors and sitting down in the living rooms of Mormon people and teaching them that Jesus Christ was not simply a man who became a God, but that he was God, eternal God, and that he loved them and died on the cross for them. And one by one, he began to see some people saved. And he took that retirement account. And my grandfather built a church, and he began preaching there and telling people, "You can go visit Moab Baptist Church this summer on your vacation if you want." And you'll find that even now, every Sunday morning, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is being preached because he had grace moving on his heart and faith to step out. And my granddad, though he is dead, is still speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. The greatest thing my granddad left me was a legacy of grace and faith, because that is the summation of his testimony. One day you're going to have a testimony, but it will only be a strong testimony if grace moves in your heart and by faith you keep doing what God has called you to do. Your testimony will be strong for the Lord. And I want to encourage you today, follow Christ with all of your life. Be faithful in your testimony. For the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." May God give us the grace to continue. May we continue with faith believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, remember what it said just a moment ago, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus Christ left heaven's glory. He came down to this earth. He shed his blood upon the cross to cover your sin. Yes, your sin and mine. And whoever will call upon the name of the Lord can be saved. And though we are in poverty spiritually, we can have the riches of his grace and glory put on our account. We can have heaven for all of eternity if we would simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then grow in the grace of Christ and let God cause us to continue by grace, because grace plus faith equals a testimony to the glory of God.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.